The scripture this morning is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, and John 20, 19 through 31. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And from the book of John, Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus and Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The purpose of this book. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
A number of years ago, I was on the staff of St. John United Church of Christ in St. Charles, Missouri. Missouri is the show me state. Can't just take it on somebody's testimony, somebody's word. Want to see for myself if you live in Missouri. And at one time in my life, that's where I was when it came to understanding and making sense of the resurrection. Show me. Now, it's not that I could actually see what happened that day, but I wanted more proof. I found it hard to accept the claims of the first Easter. I wanted facts. I wanted something that would help me to come to grips with what seemed to be just didn't make sense. I had trouble with, and in many ways I still do, with the bodily resurrection of Jesus. I don't suppose it was easy for the first disciples either. For Mary of Magdala, for the other Mary, for Peter, for any of them. It was not easy for them to make sense of the death of Jesus, to see their dreams die, buried in the tomb, and then to encounter him alive again, and real, more real than before. It was not easy to be shocked out of despair and into the threat of new life and what that might mean for them. Show me was Thomas's response when he heard the account of the other disciples of Jesus appearing among them on that eve of evening of the day of resurrection. They were cowering behind locked doors, afraid of the authorities and what might happen to them. When Jesus came in their midst and offered them his peace. And they told the story to Thomas, who wasn't there, and Thomas said, I need to see for myself. Show me. But Easter is not about the facts of the event. Easter is not even really about belief. And that's one of the things that makes it so hard. If we just had a set of empirical data, if we could put a body of evidence together and come up with a conclusion, put two and two together and say, there's the resurrection. We could list our beliefs. We could recite a creed. But Easter is more than that. It's more than a creed. It's about an encounter. I no longer try to find the facts of the resurrection to somehow prove it happened. I now understand that the Easter stories, including the one that Karma read this morning from John, about Thomas needing to see and touch Jesus for himself, are powerfully true parables, powerfully true parables. One can still ask the historical question, what happened? My response is, I don't know. But what does it matter? For I am confident that the followers of Jesus had experiences of him after his death that convinced them that he continued to be present. I'm confident of that. For if they had not had those kinds of experiences, if Thomas and others hadn't experienced the presence of the Christ, I don't think we'd know about Jesus. I don't think we'd be here this morning. I don't think that they would have recorded the events, the teachings, the healings of his life if it all ended with a cross and a tomb. Thomas wanted flesh and bones and the mark of nails. Show me, he said. But instead, he got the whispered greeting, peace be with you. And then he gets life and breath and the gift of the Spirit and the shalom of God. Thomas gets the one who is so full of God, who showed them all the way of God in the world. And Thomas gets it. And so Thomas gives that proclamation that is at the center of our faith. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Powerful words and dangerous words. Dangerous in a time as the Roman persecution of Christians was getting underway. Jesus is Lord means Caesar is not. Thomas' words meant that not only Jesus, but the way of Jesus, the way that defied the institutions of Jerusalem and Rome, the way that subverted the conventions of the day, is alive again. Not stopped by the cross or the tomb. The way that Jesus gathered everyone around the table, male and female, Jew and Gentile, the insider and those on the outside, inviting the ones at the margins to come to the center. His way of caressing the untouchables of his day, embracing the hurting, all this is alive again. God's compassion, once seen in Jesus, is now experienced in the community. Jesus' own passion for justice, which led him to execution on the cross, is alive and loose in the world. The yes of Easter continues. The gospel encounters tell us not because of the proof of the hand with the scars, but because the work of the Nazarene's hands will be carried out by the others, by Peter and Thomas and Mary Magdalene and John. Easter continues because the work of the Nazarene's hands will be carried on by us. Ours are the hands that will heal and lift up and reach out and invite and include and welcome all people. Ours are the hands that will break barriers and break bread. Ours are the hands that will bring Easter to the places of the cross, to the Mexican border, to the Cadillac classroom, to the Washington courtroom. The Easter yes continues because what we bring and what we long for is not belief, but encounter. Encountering the risen Christ. What matters is not correct beliefs or perfect understanding of what happened, but rather entering into a relationship with God that changes and transforms our lives and through us touches others so their lives can be touched and changed and transform. Too often, the church has got hung up on what is right belief. If you don't believe quite like I do, you don't belong here. Or personally, people, including myself, got stuck and wondered how we could believe when we didn't have all the facts, when we didn't understand, when it didn't make sense. And we've confused truth with factuality. The experience of Easter, the life of faith, is not easy. And it's not something that any of us can do on our own. We can't do it alone. Easter requires encounter with another. And so, seeking Easter, we turn seeking not proof, but truth, not fact, but encounter. And so we turn to one another and say, show me. Show me in your life the presence, the encounter of the Christ. Amen.